This time, dear friends, I invite you to turn in your Bible with me to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. I will be reading verses 7 to 11. However, verse 10 and 11 will be my preaching text for this morning. The Apostle Peter writes to God's elect, God's chosen ones, strangers in the world, he says, at chapter 1, verse 1. In chapter 2, he says that Christians are aliens and strangers in this world. This world is not our home. We are just passing through. Our citizenship is in heaven. This letter is also characterized by its teachings on suffering, the suffering of the believer. If you're suffering spiritually or physically, this book appeals to the sufferer. Because Peter's words are encouraging and comforting. In fact, in the very last chapter, chapter 5, verse 12, he says, "With the help of Silas, whom I regard as a faithful brother, I have written to you briefly, encouraging you and testifying that this is the true grace of God. Stand fast in it." Oh, with that being said, let us now hear God's word, beginning at verse 7 of chapter 4. Let us now hear God's word. "The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen." Thus far the reading of God's holy word. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, the New American Standard Bible is probably one of the most literal translations of the original languages, the Hebrew and the Greek. It is a great translation to work with, especially if you're doing a Bible study, a personal Bible study, or a Bible study among other brothers or sisters, because you get the real sense of what the original languages are trying to communicate. The NASB says at verse 10, it states, "As each one received a free gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. This morning's sermon is entitled, "Good Stewards of God's Free Gift." Boys and girls, a steward takes good care of things in which they've been entrusted with. For example, a steward may be responsible for taking care of a piece of property or a farm that belongs to somebody else. They care for the people working on the property. The owner entrusts all these things to a steward. If you look at any Bible dictionary, they might define a steward in this way: an official who controls the affairs of a large household, overseeing the service at the master's table, directing the household servants, and controlling the household expenses on behalf of the master. That's just one definition from a Bible dictionary. In the Old Testament, we see stewards throughout. We see Eleazar, Abraham's steward, who took care of Abraham's wealth in Genesis 15. And who can forget Joseph, who earned the favor among pagans, who earned the favor of Potiphar and became a steward in Potiphar's household, and then later became a steward in Pharaoh's household. The kings of Israel appointed stewards to take care of the palace and the kingdom. In the church of Jesus Christ, God appoints stewards. You and me. You and me. We are called to be stewards of our finances. We talk about that often in our congregations. For most, especially in the West, God has entrusted much financial wealth to be used for the expansion of his kingdom and for his purposes. Scripture also teaches us to be good stewards of our time. What do we do with our time? Are we wasting our time? Are we wasting our lives on the pleasures of this world? Or are we committing our time to serve the Lord and to give Him praise and glory? Christians are called and commanded to also be stewards of our God-given abilities, talents, or gifts. The church, as one author says, is one big storehouse of gifts and abilities. One big storehouse. You open the door and gifts just come flying out of the door. These gifts belong to God, but they've been entrusted to His people. But what's the context in which Peter writes these verses? What's the context? We see, especially at verse 7, that the apostle reminds us that the believer is living in the end of all things, the last days. The end of all things is near, he says. Therefore, Christians must be sober-minded or clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. In other words, clouded judgment and an uncontrolled life in sin will prevent us from being watchful in prayer. A clouded judgment is a judgment that does not have the Word of God in mind. It has the wisdom of this world in mind. It is not guided by the Scriptures. It is not being transformed in the renewing of the mind through God's holy Word, through the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's rather being controlled by the wisdom of this world. Peter says, no, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Be guided by God and His Word. My Bible study, or my study Bible notes, Christians are to be characterized by reason, are to make wise, mature decisions, and are to have a clearly defined, decisive purpose in life. And this is true. Also, Peter notes, in light of the end of all things, Peter says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality or be hospitable to one another without grumbling. So we really get the sense that Peter is saying essentially, love God and love neighbor. Love God and love neighbor. He reiterates what he already stated in chapter 1, verse 22 about loving one another. But in these last days, He commands us, He warns us, be focused and watchful so that you can pray. Love one another by showing hospitality, encouraging one another. And now this morning, we consider the command to be good stewards of God's free gifts. And this too is an act of love towards one another. Now you've heard the statement from Jesus from Matthew chapter 10, freely you have received, freely give. Well, as we take a close look at this passage, I want to use Jesus' statement as my points because I think it fits. Freely you have received will be one point. Freely give will be the second point. So let's look at verse 10. Look with me in your Bibles once again. And let's consider freely you have received. The apostle says, each one of you should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Take note of this. Each one, not just the pastor, not just the elder, not just the deacon, each one in the sanctuary who confesses Christ by faith received a gift of God, from above. We received a charisma, a free gift. These gifts cannot be purchased by man. They are received through faith in Christ and graciously bestowed upon us through the power and operation of His Holy Spirit. That's what makes it a supernatural gift, a spiritual gift. This word charisma, this gift, means a free gift. Without cost, you do not purchase it. And it's very important to note that ministry and service to God and to one another begins with God, and as we'll see, ends with God. We are passive. God freely gave, and we freely received. By God's grace, that unearned favor of God, he bestows gifts to the believer in Jesus Christ. He freely gave, and we received the gift of salvation, the charisma of salvation through faith. We did not and could not earn salvation because we are sinners, as we sung earlier, deserving of God's just judgment. We are incapable spiritually to cleanse ourselves from our sins. Our good works cannot outweigh our bad works, for even our good works are done in selfishness and not to the glory of God. We are utterly and totally helpless when it comes to turning away from sin and turning to God. But God, in his great mercy, saved us, made us alive in Christ, and this too is a free gift, a charisma. This word is used in Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift, the charisma of God, is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. The Apostle Peter in our text uses that same word. It's tied to that free gift of salvation because the gifts that we are given by God from above flow out of that gift of salvation. Peter uses the word free gift to refer to another gift of grace, gifts used to serve one another in love so that we might all grow up in our faith and encourage one another in the Lord. And notice what the Apostle Paul says, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others. If you have your own Bible and you like to underline in your Bible, underline the word whatever. Whatever gift you have received. What God-given abilities have you received? Do you confess Christ? Don't raise your hand. But you confess Christ. You're saying amen. You've been given a gift. He freely gave. You freely received by his grace and mercy. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12, please. Romans chapter 12. I'll begin reading at verse 3. And please take note of the similarities as I read between Paul and Peter. Here the Apostle Paul says, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts, according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully." Paul gives a list here, but Peter says, whatever gift you received, use it. I'm going to continue, verse 9 of Romans 12. Sometimes we can stop when we see a division there by the editors, but there's a flow of thought here. And he says, "Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality." The parallels there are rich. They are on the same page. And this is what it looks like to love one another when we use that which we have received from God and we now put it into practice. We put feet to our faith. And so, dear Christian, freely you have received. And don't neglect, we ought not to neglect this charisma, this free gift given to us. I think last year I did the sign up to serve sermon, and I used the illustration of a Christmas sweater. And, you know, we treat gifts kind of like a Christmas sweater given to us by our grandma, you know. And what do we do with it? Oh, it's nice, grandma, and we put it in the closet, and we don't see it till next Christmas, and she asks if you ever wore it. Well, not exactly, grandma. We can't hide them. We ought not hide our gifts. We ought to use our gifts. God gives them to us for a purpose. There's a meaning to these gifts. And it could be to bless someone in this room. We ought not to use God's free gift for personal gain. We may benefit from them in our work and in society, but these gifts are primarily for the building up of the body of Christ, especially in these last days when we need to love and encourage one another as that last day draws nearer and nearer. Because Jesus says there will be some trials and tribulations that will not have been seen before, and people will fall away. And when the day comes closer and closer, we don't know when that day is, but it's coming closer and closer, we ought to encourage each other all the more. And God gives us these gifts. We have freely received them. Freely you have received. Now, freely give. Let's consider our second point, freely give. Look with me in your Bible again at verse 10. Each one of you should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. I like how the King James Version states it. It reads, "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." Dear friends, our God is good and gracious to his people. He knows how to meet your needs and when to meet your needs, and he does so through his people. The people of God are instruments in his hands through which he blesses and ministers or serves us. In this morning's bulletin, there's a flyer, a little prayer update on the Snyder family who are missionaries in China. They're currently on furlough. They're going back at the end of January. And I took note at the bottom, I think it's the last paragraph, it mentioned the fact that in the past 25 years, they give praise and thanks to God because of the prayers, the financial support, the notes of encouragement that they received during those 25 years. God uses his people to bless and encourage. When we were missionaries in Ukraine, there were times when it was very depressing. We didn't know anybody from our culture. And in times when we felt the lowest, that's when God would have inclined somebody's heart to send a letter of encouragement. And maybe you've experienced that, perhaps. You've received a letter of encouragement, a note of encouragement in the Lord Jesus Christ to bless you and make your day. And this is the work of God. This is how he's using people as his instruments to bless and minister to us. The congregation, dear friends, is like a grand orchestra, each one playing its God-given instrument or part. And together we make one beautiful piece of music with the great composer, our Lord God, at the helm. Now, does this mean that God's will can be thwarted if we don't use our gifts? No, not at all. God will use another instrument to do that which he wants to be done. We miss out on the blessing that comes from using our gifts that God has given to us. And so we are challenged here. We are challenged here not to be lazy stewards. The Apostle Paul uses the metaphor of the human body in 1 Corinthians 12. The hand can't say to the foot, I don't need you. Or the foot can't say to the hand, I don't need you. As one body in Christ, we work together under one head, Jesus Christ. And again, this is the challenge. Freely you have received God's free gift, now freely give in service to one another. Using whatever gift, continuously serving is the idea here. Continuous service to one another as an act of love. How has he called you, dear Christian? How has he called you to put that gift to use in the service of his kingdom? One commentator writes, listen to his words here, they're really good. Jesus has placed his people at strategic positions throughout the world. He calls them to use their talents for the coming of his kingdom and the extension of the church. I love what he says there. Jesus has placed his people at strategic positions throughout the world. Where we are in life is not by chance. Where you are sitting now is not by chance or by the laws of nature. It is by God's providential and sovereign hand. There's purpose. There's meaning. And in those strategic positions, he calls us and has equipped us with that free gift to serve him in his kingdom. And so this goes beyond the walls of PPRBC. This goes beyond the walls of any local church. It's universal. It's global. Because God's mission to the world is global. You know, we confess that we belong to one holy Catholic or universal apostolic church. One body. And Jesus ministers to the world through his people to make his name known through this one body and to bless the nations with the gospel in both word and deed. Do we believe that he can do that? Do we believe that he has the power to do that? Not by your strength, by him working through you by the power and operation of his Holy Spirit. Do we believe that he has the power to defeat the strongholds of Islam in the Middle East, of terrorism that we've experienced, well, for a long while, but especially as we consider the past week? Notice what the apostle says, freely give by serving others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. What kind of stewards should we be? Not lazy ones, not slothful ones, but good and faithful servants. These gifts are distributed in various forms to his people. You have a gift that I don't have. I have a gift that you don't have. But when we look at it, the grand scope of things, we complement one another and we fill what is lacking. That's the beauty of the body of Christ. The unity and yet diversity. Unity and diversity. Matthew Henry says, Christians must not only do the duty of their place, but they must do it with vigor and according to the best of their abilities. The nature of a Christian's work, which is high work and hard work, the goodness and kindness of the master, and the excellency of the reward, all require that our endeavors should be serious and vigorous, and that whatever we are called to do for the honor of God and the good of others, we should do it with all our might. Let's take the same work ethic that we use in the public arena, in our jobs, and with the same strength and vigor, do it in the church. In the parable of the talents, Matthew chapter 25, Jesus says the one who uses the talents and invests in the talents is blessed by God. The one who does not use his talent is warned and ultimately his talent is taken away. Dear friends, God's call to follow Jesus and to serve him in his kingdom demands the kind of service that produces fruit, eternal results. Look with me at verse 11. The Apostle Peter says, "If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ, to him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen." Whether it's the minister or a layperson, the praise of God through Jesus Christ is the goal. Whether you're a CEO or a janitor, the praise of God is the goal. Whether you're a teacher or on nursery duty, the praise of God through Jesus Christ is the goal. We do not use our gifts to draw attention to self, but to draw attention to the living God. Turn with me back a few pages to chapter 2, verse 11. Chapter 2, verse 11, the Apostle Peter says, "Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us." This love for God is expressed through love to one another and how we encourage one another and build one another up. These pagans see the church and they see a people of God who share with one another, who encourage one another, who bless one another. We live in a dog-eat-dog world where people are against one another and tearing one another apart. But we use our gifts to bring unity and community among the body of Christ so that the world may see the church and see the diversity and yet the unity that exists. And as I said earlier, these gifts originated with God so that they would result in the praise of God. They end in God through Jesus Christ. Just want to close with a few thoughts. Friends, it ultimately boils down, I think, to two things. First, the attitude and motive of our hearts. And second, our commitment to Jesus Christ's mission in the world and in his church. Our motive must be love for God and love for neighbor, and this is only possible through faith in Christ. In using God's free gift to serve others, we show that we indeed love God and love neighbor. And we need to do a heart check. Why do we do what we do? Are we indeed doing it for the praise of God, or are we drawing attention to ourselves? And then the question is, do we care? Do you care? Do I care? Are we so self-absorbed in this culture and land, in our hearts, that we look to ourselves and our needs only and neglect one another? In other words, you serve me, I won't serve you. I won't reciprocate. When I was preparing this sermon, I was thinking of what JFK once said, President John F. Kennedy. He said, "Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country." He isn't saying that the government doesn't play a part in the land, in the people's lives. It plays a significant part. Well, I'd like to contextualize his statement to transfer that idea to the church. Ask not what your church can do for you, but what you can do for the church of Jesus Christ. How can we serve Christ? Are we going to come with an attitude of gimme, gimme, gimme? If I don't like it, I'm going to take my money elsewhere and tithe elsewhere. Or am I going to be blessed by the church and be a blessing to the church? of Jesus Christ, the people of God, the people of God. And this leads to a commitment, our commitment to Christ's mission. Are we committed to this mission in the world, which involves using our gifts? I encourage all of us to take the initiative. If you know your God-given gift, use it and find ways to use it. Talk to your elders, talk to your leaders, and they can give you perhaps some direction on using your gifts. And may God give us a heart of commitment for his mission in this world. Dear friends, brothers and sisters in the Lord, freely we have received. The Apostle Paul, or Peter, says, freely give as good stewards of God's free gift of grace. May God give us the strength and enable us by his Holy Spirit to do that which the Apostle Peter here tells us that we ought to do for one another. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your goodness and grace to us in Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to walk as a people of faith, a people that does not trust in our own efforts, but a people that trust in your sovereign grace and mercy in Christ. And Lord, in response to such great grace, we pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would enable us and move us to walk in that grace, to walk in love. And we pray, O Lord, that in all things, our great God would be praised through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.